The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, November 13, 2016, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, our Christ. Good to see you. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and may we be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, thank you for all of your blessings, each and every blessing, large and small. Thank you even for the times when we struggle, times when we have to rely on you even more. So thank you. As we come this morning, we truly come to worship you in spirit and in truth. So Father, may we do that now, claiming the promise of Christ, that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is also. We claim that promise today as we move into this time of praise and worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Scripture reading today is taken from Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to understand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today in the Christian calendar, Christian year, is prayer for the persecuted church Sunday. And around the world, indeed, the church is persecuted. Persecution comes in many forms, many ways, and the church can be persecuted simply by not being allowed to evangelize, to share the good news. It can be pushed underground in a lot of other ways, but folks, Christians are dying for the faith today around the world. That's a fact. We can stick our head in the sand and say it's not happening, but it is. In this text, Jesus paints a pretty bleak picture, I think, don't you? I mean, they're looking at the temple, they say, "Wow!" And in its day, Herod's temple was spectacular. The temple of Jesus' day was a beauty to behold, though it was only a shadow of the original temple that was destroyed in 586. But this temple was magnificent. Solomon's temple, the one that was destroyed in 586, was the grandest of all. So now we have the second temple. And Jesus and the disciples, we hear the story of him being over at the treasury and the widow's mite and the widow's copper coins. And they're going out of worship. They've been in there for a while. And as they're leaving to worship, they're talking about this beautiful temple, this beautiful building, this beautiful thing, and Jesus says, "I tell you, this place is going to fall down. It's going to be torn down. It's going to be thrown down. There's not even going to be a stone left." Well, now, how would you like it if after church we were going out here and somebody says, "Well, you know, that was a nice building, but in just a little while it's going to be rubble"? Would that inspire you? I mean, really? Would it inspire you? And so the disciples, those around him, said, "Whoa, when's this going to happen?" Hold that thought. Luke's gospel, and I recommend to you in your reading to read Luke and then turn around and read Acts. It's a two-part volume, two books written by Luke. Luke was not an apostle. Luke was a disciple, was a follower of Paul. And he's writing to his friend, most excellent Theophilus. And the purpose of Luke's gospel is to affirm the faith of Theophilus. Therefore, it's good for us that it would affirm our faith as well. Luke writes his gospel after the temple has been destroyed. After 70 AD, the temple of Jerusalem is gone, exactly as Jesus said it would be. By the time Luke writes his gospel, the apostles, save only John, are dead. Paul's dead. Thomas is dead. Stephen's been stoned. They're all dead, with the exception of John. So as he's writing this gospel, this good news, to Theophilus and then to the church, all of this has happened. Historically speaking, the disciples have been brought up, Paul's been brought up, tried before the stone, synagogues, all of that's happened, exactly as Jesus said. Jerusalem is in ruins. The temple has been destroyed, horribly so. The Jews were all killed, all the scribes, all the Pharisees were crucified by the Roman authorities. All of this has happened. By the time Luke writes this, he's writing this to Theophilus to say, Jesus told you it would happen. Jesus said it would happen. Jesus said all this bad stuff. And Theophilus, a Roman citizen, high-ranking Roman authority, knew the history too. He knew everything that Jesus had foretold had happened. How is this encouraging? Really? I mean, Jesus told him it was going to happen, so it happened. Well, number one, it's encouraging because Jesus knows what the future holds. For you, for me, the world around us. He knows how it's going to unfold. A lot of people read this and they look into it eschatologically and they say, this is about the end times. No, 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 no. This is about what had happened and what would happen in 70 AD. Did you know that the Christians followed Jesus' warning and they got the heck out of Jerusalem and not a single Christian died in that 70 AD siege and destruction of the city and the temple? They listened. Rome surrounded it, dug in, entrenched, and laid siege to the city, just like Jesus said. Keep reading. Verse 20. Following. It all happened. But I want to draw your attention to one verse today of this whole thing. It's verse 19. Go with me there for just a minute. Just one verse. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Now, if your translation says lives, it's not so good. It's souls. Jesus makes no bones about the hardships that will befall the community of believers. And I bet every one of us know that there's good days and bad days, that there's good times and bad times. There's trials and tribulations, triumphs and joys. We know that life is about that. But Jesus says it's to happen to everyone, and we know it does, don't we? So maybe you don't know yet, but it will. But there's something going on. Endurance. What does endurance mean? Come on. I don't have to do all the talking. Lasting, enduring. Anybody else? What does endurance mean? Now, my Sunday school class, you can actually say what we learned in Sunday school. So, strength. Okay. Yeah, maybe. Enduring, endurance. It means that you trained to get there, doesn't it? You don't have endurance if you don't train for it, do you? Endurance just don't show up. You might get that little burst of something, but endurance means you're able to sustain something. And you're able to sustain something because you've trained for it. You're able to continue it because you have prepared to get there. I tell everybody, if you're facing some kind of, especially surgery on limbs and joints and things like that, you need to go to physical therapy before the surgery. Right, Norma? It helps the recovery later. How many of you exercise on a regular basis? Okay. What happens if you're sick and you can't for a week? And you come back to exercise, what happens? It's tough. Dr. Huxford, you do the Ironman things, don't you? Do you stop training? Why not? You won't have the endurance. We as Christians have to attend the spiritual disciplines because trouble comes to every one of us. Good days too, but it's the days of trouble, trial, and tribulation that face us sometimes. Those days of uncertainty that we must prepare ourselves. How do we prepare that? Prayer, number one, is to pray. Number two is read His Word daily. Pastor, what do I read? I done told you. Luke and Acts, that's a good place to start. Proverbs, there's 31. Read a proverb a day. And then when the month don't have 31, read two. That's not a lot of reading. How much of Luke should I read? A chapter? Guess what? There's 24 chapters of Luke. Then jump on Acts. And you'll see Luke come alive. It gives meaning to it. The Acts of the Apostles. Endurance is built by practicing the disciplines, fasting, prayer, Bible study, Christian fellowship. Christian conferencing, Wesley would later call it. A time when we get together, like Sunday school. We have a ball. I make their brains hurt sometimes on Sunday morning. But we have good discussions. Book study, armor of God, those kind of times of Christian conferencing. Coffee with an unbeliever, with another believer. To share that journey together. Endurance. What I found in sports is sometimes you need somebody to train with you. Sometimes you need a sparring partner. But sometimes if somebody's training with you, I find we push ourselves a little harder, don't we, men? You're down at the weight room and somebody's over there working out 110.
Oh, I can do 120. They can do 125. They can do 130. All of a sudden, you go home, you go, gosh, I wish I had the wind down there today. I can't move, you know. It's the way it is. But sometimes that person in that journey with us helps us build our endurance. The world doesn't have that endurance when the trouble comes. Let me give you some examples. I've been doing this pastor thing full time for over 20 years. I have probably done literally thousands of funerals. I have stood beside the bed of hundreds of people as they died. I have worked with family after family after family gathered around a dining room table or a coffee table as they share with me about their loved one, and I find there are two sets of people, those who believe in God and trust in God and those who do not. And folks, let me tell you, those who do not have a lot of trouble with it. How many of you can say amen to that? But those who have faith and know that someone who was loved and loved God and loved them, oh, yeah, our heart breaks, but we're rejoicing at the same time.
You see, the world doesn't have that hope. To them, I got news for you, the sky's falling. But to those of us who have that hope, have a hope that springs eternal, the world can't change it. They can't change it. They face this last great obstacle called death. Unprepared. Struggling. The other group are the ones who are always quick scheming, you know. They're always always planning on the next government thing. I'll go get a little political. They're always waiting on the next government thing to fix it. Folks, I got news for you. Don't wait on that one either. Don't put your hope in people. They'll let you down. How many of you can say amen to that? We're all human. Do you know what the good news is? The good news this morning is Christ said, I am with you always. I am with you. To endure is to train with Christ. To persevere in faith. To go through it, not run away from it. To embrace it, not hide from it. You see, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I come to the sanctuary, I don't expect to find perfect people gathered here. I hope you don't expect me to be perfect. But what I do expect are people who have kind of been through it, you know, a little bit. Who have had some bumps and bruises along the way. And who have come to the point to know I need Christ, number one. I can get through because of Christ, number two. Christ is with me, and that gives me strength and hope. And number four, I can trust in the eternal instead of the temporary. And to come together on Sunday morning and to know we've all been there, haven't we? Different ways, different times. But when we come here, this is called a sanctuary. We claim the promise. Folks, this is unique. Where we can come together and love each other, strengthen each other, lift each other up. Not be divided, but be united in Christ. The hope that springs eternal is in Christ. Trouble comes, and that's a given. This ain't heaven, but it's not hell either. The good times come. For those who train for different things, you train even on the days when it's hard, not just on the good days. It's the morning when you wake up and you go, I think I'll skip it today, that you know you need it the most. Endurance is built by sustaining our relationship with Christ. And part of that's Christian fellowship, prayer, biblical study. No hands up. But I just really wonder how many Christians spend more than 10 minutes a day in the book. Dr. Huxford, what if you trained 10 minutes a day? Would you be ready? Endurance comes that we can weather the storms and have hope when the sky, everybody says, is falling. That springs eternal in Christ Jesus. He's the hope in all of it. And His promise of the Holy Spirit, His promise that He's with us always. Don't fear the stuff that's around you. Stay faithful in Christ Jesus. He'll give you words when you don't have any. Hope when there doesn't seem to be any in anybody else. For He is with us always. Even unto the end of the age. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, You are with us through the good and through the bad. You strengthen us for the journey of life that is ahead. You give us strength to rejoice when we are blessed. May we do so in humility, knowing that our blessings come from You. And God, you give us strength for the times of trial and tribulation, that we would have a hope that the world cannot understand. That even in the face of the end of life, we know it isn't the end for us. You say that we are a peculiar people, called and set apart. And Father, you remind us that we, as Christians, are in this world, but not of this world. We're on a journey through. May we exemplify your light into the world around us. May they see a hope in us they can't understand. But may it be the light of Christ they see shining brightly through our lives. Joys will come. Sorrows will too. Let us train that we stay humble in the joys and humble in the trials, that we may love one another and strengthen one another and not be divided, but to be united. And may the world see Christ in us, a hope that springs eternal. In Christ Jesus. Amen. May we go to know God's grace and mercy in our hearts and lives. And truly, may we go to pray for one another. During this week, may we feel the power of prayer for one another as it builds up our strength and our endurance and our faith and hope in Christ. And now may that hope and peace go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like more information about our church, please email us at rsfumc@hotmail.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. Audio copies of this message are also available online at www.rockspringsumc.org. Times for worship and other activities are also available on our website. Please feel free to share this CD with others, or if you need additional copies, contact us by phone or email.